Okay, Daf Mem Tes. We'll hear a discussion, Rav and Rav Yechanan, about an Ervin. When you put down a mashkin, that's a down payment. So is there going to be a kinyan on the whole chayfetz, or if it's karka, you're making a kinyan on the whole thing, you're only on the part you paid for. And by metalton, when you get it, you're not kind of the chayfetz, but at least you get a mishapara on it. Are you going to get mishapara on all of it, or mishapara only on half of it? So let's start again from the brice on the bottom. Lemiketanoi, because we're going to finish the kasha there. About malval amashkin. Lemiketanoi, malval amachaber amashkin. So you lend someone money with a mashkin, and it's a shemitah. And then it becomes shemitah, the end of shemitah, which normally cancels the loans if you don't have a prosbul, etc. So Aval Pi She'enis Shava Ela Peleg, even the bright Tata Kanakama says, even though the mashkin is only worth half the loan, Eina Meshamet, Divir B'Shinglu. Shinglu says it does not cancel the loan. What does that mean? All the loan or part of the loan? Hold on, that's what the Gemara is going to struggle with. B'Yudah Nasi Yemirim Hoya Mashkin Kanakal Vosa Eina Meshamet. If the mashkin is connected to the whole loan, then you do not cancel the loan because there's no question of loyigas because you don't have to go collect because the mashkin is in place of the collection of the loan. But if it's not the whole thing, then it's mishamet. So now, what are they talking about? Which shita? How do we work out the sheet this year? So this is more. My enem mishamet to come mishingam liel. Mishingam liel says that it is not mishamet. It does not cancel the loan when it's only half. Ilem kenegdoi that even. The part that is kenegdo is not canceled. Michal de Yudah Sover Lach Paga. Nami Meshamet. Sorry, the Meshim Gamliel says that the part that is kenegdo is not Meshamet. Mashma, the Yehuda says even that part is also Meshamet. So Yehuda is basically saying that unless the Mashkin is fully kenegdo de Chayiv, the Mashkin does not count at all. Says the Gemara, Ela Mashkin de Noka Lamalek. What would be the purpose of a mashkin, according to Rabbi Huda, if even the part that's connected to mashkin is being canceled? That doesn't make any sense. El alav must be that each one is talking about a step up. El alav shmamina, my enem mashamet to come to Shingam Leo, and if Shingam Leo said it's not mashamet, means enem mashamet bekulay. That even though the mashkin is only connected half, lemais is that protection on the whole loan, similar to the way we said when you put down a down payment, it makes a kinyan on the entire karka, or it makes a mishapara on the entire metalton. Here also, a mashkin on partial also protects the entire loan. My mishamet to come with Yudim Nasim. Yudim Nasim says it is still mishamet. It's the hach palga the loinakala mashkin. It's talking about the half that doesn't have a mashkin connected to it. And that is exactly what would be the machlaikis of Shingam Leo. And Yehuda is our point. And therefore, the same way they argue by a malval and mashkin, whether half a mashkin on half the loan covers the entire loan, yes or no, they would have the same achleikis, it's got to be a kinyan karka, and they have the same achleikis, the gabi, the mishapara, a mataltlin. So, the chavetz machleikis tanoim. So, my love dafka, that's the pshat over here. My enem mashamet, the kamer shingam liel, is the hach palga denokale mashkin. He said, even Shingam Liel says, maybe you're only protected from the half that has a mashkin connected. Oh, so if that's the case, Machal de Yehuda Nasi Savam Lach Pag Denakel Mashkin Nami Mishamet. See what Yehuda says, and this is the kasha we had started with. Yehuda therefore would say that even the part connected the mashkin is not Mishamet. Ela Mashkin Denakel Lamali. So what is the function of a mashkin? The whole purpose of a mashkin is to be as a collection for the chayiv. So if you're not even protecting from the half, so what's the point? So am I right? Lezichrein Dvarim Bialma. Maybe according to Yehuda, the mashkin is just so that they remember that there's a chayiv. So you have some sort of proof that there's a chayiv. But it actually is not considered a collection at all, according to Yehuda. And if a lav dafka, do we necessarily see that we have a machlekes tanaim about this point? It comes out that both of them would be saying that it's not going to be keneged kule, which is definitely not like what we said between Rabbi Yechon, because Rabbi Yechon said it is keneged kule. So Rabbi Yechon is going to have to learn it's machlekes tanaim lechar. But Rav, lav dafka, is going to learn it's machlekes tanaim. Rav says everybody could agree like me that best case scenario, the mashkin is keneged, or the kinyan is keneged the chetzi that you're paying, but by a mashkin, maybe it works differently like Rabbi Yehuda said.
You're not going to come to anything?
Maybe. But no. Keneged you would. By a mashkin, not. Only by a mashkin, because a mashkin is zichron derem miyam, but it's not a kinyan. Yeah, by a mashkin. It's not a kinyan. It's a mashamet. Says the Gemara, Kahana Yovle Zuze Akisla. So they paid him money to buy some cotton. L'sayfer Yaka Kisla. So the price went up. So he wanted to back out on the deal so he could sell to somebody else at a higher price. Also, Kamei the Rav. So he went to Rav to ask Kishayla, what can I do? Amar Lei, so Rav said to him, B'maydenikita Zuze, for what they paid you for? No, they didn't pay for the entire deal. the down payment they gave you, Havlu. Then it's Mishapara if you back out on that. And of course, you have to give them whatever it is. Let's say they paid you 10%. You have to pay them 10%. You have to give them at least 10% of what they agreed to. The Idach, but the other 90% that they have not paid you for at all, Dvarim Ninu, you just had an agreement, but there was no money on it. Dvarim Eimem Mishum Mechusri Amana, and there's no problem, there's for sure not a Mishapara, and there's no problem whatsoever, even if the Mishur Sadin, it's Mashur according to Rav, you can back out, there's no deal. Just because you have an agreement, unless you actually paid money, even though the money is not Kaina, and even though it's only Mishapara, but if you didn't pay money, then there's no deal whatsoever. Says the Gemara, why? The Bukhari, we said, not like that. The Itmar, Dvarim, if you just have a verbal agreement with no money whatsoever, Rav Avra, Ein Behem, Meshum, Amana. There's no problem whatsoever of backing out on deals. We'll see in the Gemara, the way Rashi seems to explain it, is if the price changes, then you have a legitimate reason to back out of the deal. The Meicher wants to back out of the deal because you can get a better price from somebody else. Stomp to back out, maybe not. But if there's a somewhat of a legitimate reason, that would be okay. Rabbi Yochanan says no. You already agreed to the deal. Once you agreed to the deal, it's not Mishapara, it's not a Kenyan, but it's still Mechusri Amana. You're not considered a trustworthy person. Chazal frown upon this. It's a mitzvah. We talked about this earlier, but we bring a second brisa. What's Pshat in the Pasuk? The Pasuk talks about that you have to have proper measurements in your house and in your store. The Pasuk says, Ma'iz Neit Tzedek. You have to have proper scales. Av Neit Tzedek, the weights. Eifas Tzedek, Vehin Tzedek, different size measurements of Kelim. Yelachem, Ani Hashem, Lekechem, Asher, Tzeitz, Yeschem, Eretz, Mitzrayim. So the Torah is very machmid that you have to be trustworthy in business. So why does it say, Eifas tzedek v'hin tzedek. Those are just two different types of measurements of volume. In fact, Rashi says an eifa is going to be 72 lug and a hin is 12 lug, but they're different types of measurements. So why does the Torah say hin tzedek? For a hin b'chlal eifa. It's just a part of an eifa. So therefore, why does the Torah have to go through and mention both of those? Says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Elolayim Lecha, Shia Hain Shalchot Tzedek V'Lav Shalchot Tzedek. When it says Hin, doesn't mean the typical word Hin of a volume metric, a volume measurement. It actually means the word Hain. That when you say yes, your yes is yes. And when you say no, your no is no. And therefore you have to be trustworthy, even if there's no payment, even if there's no kinyan. Once you have a verbal agreement, it's not binding, but halakhically you should stay to it as much as you can. So therefore we see that there is Mechusri Amana. Amar Abaye, no. Ahu shelo yedaber echad bepev echad balei. Rav will say that you know what it's also to do? It's also to trick someone lechatchila. That you had in mind lechatchila that you're going to back out of the deal. You had in mind lechatchila you're going to somehow going to mess him up. That you know how to do. But if you made a verbal agreement and then the situation changed, the price changed, then it's not Mechusri Amana for the Meicher to back out. It's only going to be Mechusri Amana if lechatchila you went into the deal with the intention to trick the person. That's what's also. But if you didn't do it lechatchila, just the situation changed, Rav would say that's no problem. Meisvei though, we quoted before. Reb Shimon Omer, Af bisha amru talis kainet dinazov, ein dinazov kainet talis. Vikamachem kachalacha of amru misha par mianchedar ma mianchedar flog rusli par misha nimar to be doer. So this is the beginning of the price of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, if you made a deal over here and you paid money, you did a maisa, then you have misha par. Now the Gemara doesn't bring the end of the price, which is really Rashi says what the kasha is, because the end of the price we said, and this is what we differentiate in the beginning of the daf yesterday, that if I noisiv and noisiv bedvarim loy kana b'vachoyser boy ein ruach acham lechem. That's what we said at the top of daf mem ches and aleph. So we said even if you didn't make a deal and you didn't pay the money, you just had a verbal agreement, it's still not misha para, but it's ein ruach acham lechem. So it's a kasha and raf. We see Beferish of Shimon says, even without money, it's still at least en rechachom neichemen. Says the Gemara Tanoi. Rav will have to learn that this point, if you don't pay money, are you allowed to back out on the deal if the situation changes at least, is actually a machlaikis tanoi. But Shimon says, you are not allowed to back on the deal. It's because I want to thank you. Whereas, we'll bring a brisa lechar that maybe says not like that. The brisa says this not. Very interesting story. The Mishnah, I'm sorry. The Mishnah says, Maisa Rabbi Yochanan ben Messiah, Sha'amal Ibnai told his children, go hire us some workers. We need to work in the fields. Go hire us some workers. And so they have to negotiate a price. Halach v'pasach lehem hazaynus. So they said to the workers, we'll give you whatever you need to eat for the day. All you can eat buffet, come work in the field. That's a problem. Says the Gemara, when they came back and told their father, we hired workers. And he said, great, what price did you get? They said, no problem, we just agreed to feed them. He says, uh-oh. Even if you make for them the biggest buffet table that you can possibly imagine, like Shem HaMelech had, you're never going to be Yaitzi or Chayiv. Shem B'nai Avram Mitzvah Yaakov. We always consider Klai Yisrael to be B'nai Malachim. B'nai Malachim is literally all you can eat. And therefore, you're never going to be able to your deal of paying them. Because you have to put a cap on it. You could say, you know, 10 hamburgers, fine. You want to say 10 hamburgers. But if you say all you can eat, it's unlimited. How are you ever going to be able to your chiv of paying them? Ella Rabbi Yechanan said, actually, before they actually start working, go change the structure of the deal and say, it's not unlimited food. I'm going to give you bread. I'm going to give you some chalent. That's what you're going to get. And they'll agree to that. That's only if they didn't start working yet. Says the Gemara, but we didn't see why that difference is in a second. Now, how did Rabbi Yochanan ben Maaseh change the parameters of a deal? They already had a verbal parameters. If they already had verbal parameters, you're not allowed to change the deal. M'chosr amana. How could you change the deal? Once you have a handshake deal that you're going to give them all you can eat, then you have to give them all you can eat. Says the Gemara, must be the Rav will hold that Rabbi Yochanan Messiah holds that it's not a mechusar amana if it's just a verbal agreement. If you didn't pay money at all and you make a kinyan at all, just a verbal agreement, must be you're allowed to go ahead and change the parameters of the deal if you have a good reason. In our case, it was because the price changed, and here it's because the deal was just untenable because you have to give the money forever, the food forever. And therefore, the chayr, we see a machlekes tanoim whether by a verbal agreement that it is mechusar amana or not. So my love dafka, could be we have another pshat in this price. So obviously Rav's going to hold it to the machlokes is tanoim still. But pasha pshat, love dafka, that's what's going on in the price. Shani hasam, the po'olim gufayu lo'samcha datayu. The po'olim understood l'chatchil that the kids made a bad deal. They knew, my time up, they knew that the children are just negotiating on behalf of their father, and therefore they knew when the kids go back and tell their father, we gave them an all-you-can-eat deal, that the father's going to say, no way. And therefore, it's not really considered a verbal agreement at all. It was a negotiation, but it wasn't a verbal agreement, and therefore, that's why everybody agrees in this case, you could still renegotiate. Says the Gemara, so why do we say it makes a difference if they started working or not? If the negotiations are not done, Says the Gemara, no. Hischidu b'malacha v'atei samcha daitu. If the children let the workers start working, then the workers assume that it's already a closed deal, and if you told us all you can eat, then it's all you can eat. Must be if they let us start working that the children told the father the deal and the father agreed. So if you can chop them before they start working, then we can say that the negotiations were never finished because the father didn't agree. But once they start working, then the poyalim are assuming that the negotiations are closed, and chenami, then it would be a mechusar amana. So two ways to understand exactly what was going on here in this story. Says the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi. The Rabbi Yechanan had said, Dvar Mieshman Mechusar Amona, is that true? Vamar Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yechanan, Hoyimer Lechaver, Matana Ani Noiselach, I'm going to give you a present. Oh, you're a good friend of mine, I'm going to give you a present. Yochel Achseboy. Right? You can change your mind and pull the present back. Calls mind, you have not given it to him, and he did not make a Kinyan Mashiach on him. Says the Gemara, Yochel. That he's able to do it, pshita, right? Of course he's able to do it. That's not a question. Even in all these cases, when it's mishapara, you're able to. Luckily it works. Actually said, when you give a present, before you actually give it and make a kinyan on it, it's totally 100% mutter to back out. Once you have a verbal agreement, even a verbal agreement to give a present, it should be usher at least to back out. Amar of Papa, Maider Rabbi Yechanan, or Umaider Rabbi Yechanan, b'matan mu'etes to samcha datayu. It depends on what we're talking about. If we're talking about a small matan or something that you normally give, or a negotiation that you're buying and selling, so then everybody semich das that the deal is closed, and if the deal is closed, then if you back out, it's mechusar amana. But if you're giving a large present, and you're not paying me anything at all, then already nobody assumes they're getting it until they actually get it. So everybody, even if you hold that it's mechusar amana is a problem, by a large present, that wouldn't be a deal. That wouldn't be a problem. By a small present, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. So, Machanai Mestabro, Damar Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan again, Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi. Yisrael says to a Levi, Kor Meiser Yeshecha B'yadi. I have a whole bunch of Maaser Rishon in my house, and I'm going to give it to you. But he did not yet give it to him. So Ben Levi, Ashoy, Lassoy, Chumas Maaser, Malka Macher. The Ben Levi can assume that the Israel is going to give it to him. Now, there's two issues. A, it says them where, hold on. So, 2 points. Let me just get back. So, two issues here. A, he did not give it to him yet. Okay. Now, Gemara is going to be talking over here. Can the Levi use this Maaser Rishon to take off Trumas Maaser and other stuff that he has? And the Gemara is saying he could assume that yes. Now, first stage the Gemara does not address is, how does it become his in the first place? It's not his. Okay. The Gemara is just addressing, how do we know that the owner did not back out on it? But the Gemara never really addresses, how does it become his in the first place? So the Rishonim say we have a halacha called Makire Kahuna. Makire Kahuna says if you normally give your Trumas and Maasers to one Kohen or one Levi, he can assume he's getting them, and all other Levium are like Miyayish, they pull away, and it becomes that Levi's by himself. But that's only assuming he eventually actually gets it from the Baal HaBayis. Okay, maybe the Baal HaBayis will change his mind and never give it to him. Makira doesn't mean you have to give it to him. It means mustam you're going to give it to him. But if you change your mind, not. Now, here, it's better. Because here, the Yisrael told him, I'm going to give it to him. Now, giving Trumas and Maasers to a Kohen or a Levi is a Matana Muetis. That's not a Matana Gedolah. No matter how much you give, right, the Yisrael doesn't really own the Trumas and Maaser over here at all. He just has a schus to give it to give it to whoever he wants to. That's a Matana Muetis. So says the Gemara over here, we see that you could assume that you gave it to him. Says the Gemara, Yisrael Shemal Ben Levi Maisi Yeshem Chayadi Rashoy Lasa Shuma Maisi Makracha Yama Bishom Lamatzi Mahader, that you can't back out Mishum Hochi Rashoy. So therefore, the Yisrael can assume he's going to get it. Eliyama Matzi Mahader Bay. If you're going to say that maybe he can back out on it, Amai Rashoy Yishtaket Tocha Ochot Tfalayim. Maybe he's going to be eating Tevel. So how do you back out? How can you assume that he's actually going to get it? No, maybe we're talking about the opposite. Maybe we're talking about whether he gave it to the Levi. The Levi made a kinyan on it. The Levi said, listen, I'm not going home right now. Can I leave it by you? So it was the Levi's the whole time. And if it was Levi's the whole time, that's why the Levi can assume that it's there and there's no backing out because he made a kinyan. So that can't be. Yochim a Sefer. The Sefer says, Nasul ben Levi Acher. If the Yisrael takes it away from the first Levi and gives it to a second Levi, Einu Alavela Tarumas. He only has a complaint on it because he violated Mechusar Amon, etc. We're talking about a case where he actually made a kinyan on it. Am I in love to Rumas? Once he did a kinyan, it belongs to the first Levi. Must be, we're talking about, we did not make a real kinyan on it. He just had a haftacha that he's going to give it to him. And we see that it's Mechusar Amon if you back out on it. And if it's Mechusar Amon if you back out on it, so the Levi can assume that he's not going to, if he taka backs out, it might be a problem. But if he assumes he doesn't back out, then he could use it as Trumas Maaser and everything he has. So again, we see at least Rabbi Yochanan holds Dvarim Yesh B'Mishum Mechusar Amon, at least by Muetis, whereas by Rav says there's no Mechusar Amon whatsoever on verbal agreements. Who gavered Yav Zuzi Asumsumi? He paid to get some sesame seeds. L'sayfer Yaker Sumsumi. The price went up and the Meicher didn't want to give it to him. So Hajubu, they said, forget it, we're not making a deal. Ramulay, less on Sumsumi. They said, no, we don't have any. Sorry, we're out. Right? You ever go to there's a big sale and you go to buy something and they say, oh, sorry, we're out. But we have this other expensive one we can give you instead, right? Classic deal. Bait and switch, right? So they said, we don't have. So Shakal Zuzi, they said, we don't even have anything to give you. Take your money and get out of here. He already paid. Okay. So Loy Shakal Zuzi. He refused to take his money back. He said, no, I want my sumsumi. I negotiated the deal and he refused to take the money back. So Inglev, the money got stolen later. So also Kameh Darava, Amalei, Chivin Damalei, Shakal Zuzi, Fale Shakal Zuzi. They told you, don't leave your money here. Take your money out. Not only don't they have a din of Shem Sachar, they don't even have a din of Shem Echidim, and even if they were Pesheya in watching the money, they're totally Pata. You should not have left your money here at all. Wait a second. This is a classic Mishapara case. They paid the money. If they paid the money, then we have to tell the people who negotiated the deal, the Sumsumi dealers, you're going to get Mishapara. And then they have a choice. Either they have to give back the money or the Mekabel Mishapara. If they were never Mekabel to this Klala of Mishapara we talked about yesterday, then the deal's still on. So if the deal's still on, It's their problem that the money got lost, and they have to give him the subsidy. Says the Amalu Hachanami, Enechanami. You're right. We're talking about a case where we told them you're going to get Misha Para, and they said, we don't care about the Misha Para. We're backing out on the deal, which we said, it works if they do. It's not advisable, but it works if they do. And if that's the case, then Enechanami, he should have taken his money back, and he didn't. Great story, right? You can learn lots of halachas from the story. Hold on, not so fast. Amar of Papa. Amar li Ravina. Lididi Amar li Ahumar Abana. Ravina said, I said over this story in Shir one day. And one of the Talmidim said to me, Rav Tavash Shmei, Talmud's name was Rav Tavash, V'yamid Rav Shmuel Bar Zutras Shmei. Some people say the version of the story was a different Talmud of Shmuel Bar Zutras. And this person, this Talmud, Yaviyav le'kol chalala di'almo le'kav le'kamashana di'burei. I can tell you that this Talmud was the most trustworthy Talmud in the whole Shir. If you'd give him all the money in the world, he would never back out on a deal. So what's going on? And this Talmud said, "Bididi aviuvda." I know this story. They said over. I was the Baal Maisa. It happened to me. And you got the story totally 100% wrong. You said that I paid, and then they backed out. But no, none of that happened. What happened was like this: How you apani demali Shabbat avi? It was Erev Shabbos. We were sitting at home right before Shabbos, getting ready to go to shul. V'yasahu gaver kayabava. This guy came and he knocked on the door. Amarli Isach Sumsimit Zvini. Do you have any Sumsimit to sell me? I need food for Shabbos. And he had money. Amarli. And I said to him, Loi. I said, no, I have nothing to sell you. I don't have anything. It's Arab Shabbos. We're out. So Amarli, Lahavi Hanach Zuzi Pipikodun Gaboch. So then the guy said, okay, do me a favor. I have to go to shul. Can you please, can I leave my money in your house? Because I don't want to take it to shul. It's Arab Shabbos. Dachoshkli. It's going to come Arab Shabbos. Amarli, Ha Besach Amach. Here's my house. Osvinim Abesa, and you want to put it in the house, that's fine. And he put it in the house. And he didn't give it, and it got stolen. I never agreed to be a Shemar Chinam. I never agreed to be a Shemar Sachar. I never negotiated any deal. I didn't back out any deal. The whole story never happened. All I did was, I said, you want to leave your money in my house? Bekef. No problem. Leave the money in my house. And then, Asuk made the Rava. We went to Rava, and Amalei, Kol Hoy Besa, Kamach, let me buy Shemar Sachar Lavi, and I feel Shemar Chinam Lavi. When you just tell someone you can leave your money in my house without saying that you're going to watch it, you're not a Shemir Sachar. You're not a Shemir Chinam. You're Patel Legamri. That's the end of the story. Nobody, I never agreed to sell him anything. I never backed out on the deal. Lehayev lehiyah. So Amr Leiva, Amr Leiva, Rabbana Leravi, Bar Lechkum Mishapara. Part of the story, the details of the story they said over in the Art School book was that they said, oh, you were Makabo Mishapara. And they said, Enechanami, you were Makabo Mishapara. Like they got into the gory halachic chesh and mishpah details over here. The guy said, they made up all these details. It never happened. It never occurred. And there's nothing I can tell you about it. And therefore, the story never happened. Now, that doesn't mean the halacha of the story is not true. The halacha of the story is true. Just don't say it over about me because it didn't really happen by me. Next piece, the Gemara is continuing on the halacha of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon had said in the Mishnah, "Kol shekesef bi yodai yodai al al yoyna." That once you pay, see, Reb Shimon had said that you can be the meicher can be chayzer, but not the lekech. And we discussed whether he's holding most kind of daraisa, etc. That was the discussion we had in Reb Shimon. The Gemara here brings a braisa, which used to be a slightly different version of Reb Shimon. Tanya, I'm Reb Shimon. When the kesef and the peres are biyada moicher, so the lekech paid, the moicher has not yet given over the peres yet. So then we said that you don't have a kinyan yet. You don't have a kinyan yet. The moicher could be chayzer and change the deal. Of a kesef biyada moicher, the peres biyada lekeach. If the kesef biyada moicher and the peres biyada lekeach, any yochalach saboy, you cannot back out on the deal. The punch up shot, that's because the deal's done, right? Once you paid and you delivered the goods and he made a kinyan mashicha on the goods, so there's nothing left to back out and it's done. But that's what the verb of Shimon says. Shimon says, because the kesef of the lekeach is biyadeh. What does that mean? So I mean, biyadeh? Biyad meicher. The money is not biyad the lekeach. The money is biyad the meicher. He already paid. So I mean, elu apnesha dmei kaspei biyadeh. Because demei kaspei, which is a weird word, demei kaspei, right? It's the opposite usually when we refer to things. So we're saying that the chefetz is the demei kaspei, and since the lekech paid and the meicher delivered the goods, so therefore the deal is done and there's nothing left to back out on. So of course, pshita, obviously, once the lekech did a kinyan mashicha on whatever the goods he's buying, then the deal is done. So Marava, you're right. That would be a pasha case. Here we're talking about a slightly different case where there's a chiddush. Hachma mayaskinin kon shahoisa aliyah shaloi keach muskeres biyad hamoicher. Oh, so let's have a lot of fun in this case. So we're talking about, we have a moicher who's trying to sell stuff, and he has the goods, but he doesn't have room in his house, so he rents space by the Lekeach's house, and he puts the goods there. We're not necessarily with the intention to sell to that Lekeach at all. Then he's keeping the stuff in the guy's attic, in his machsan, as we would say, and the owner of the machsan says, hey, I see you're storing, you know, apples in my machsan. I'd like to buy them off you. No problem. Charging 100 shekel a kilo. Great. And he gives him 100 shekel. Now, he's not kind of, the lekeach is not, the lekeach did not do a meshicha here. Did not pick anything up. So what are you going to say? He's kind of a kinyan chatzar, but it's not. Since he rented the machsan to the meicher, it's not his chatzar to make a kinyan chatzar with. So where's the kinyan now? All we have a case over here is he paid. The fruits happen to be in the lekeach's house, but lemaisa, that part of the house is rented to the meicher. Says the Gemara, time it, but that works anyways. It works. It works off kinyan kesef. Why? Because remember, Shimon holds most kindness daraisa. Once the lekeach pays, it works. Midrabanan, we say it doesn't work. Why? Shema nisufu chitecha ba'aliyah. You're not going to be able to protect the crops, and the meicher is not going to be interested in protecting the crops, and the lekeach doesn't have access to it. Says the Gemara, time am I taking about a meshicha? Why do you say you have to do meshicha? We're afraid that the meicher is not going to protect the lekeach's stuff when it's in his house, when in the meicher's house. Even though, yes, halachically speaking, the machsan is owned or rented now by the meicher, but the meicher, it's in the lekeach's house. The lekeach lives downstairs. So if there's a fire, he'll protect his own stuff. Enough to the lake of Bainus, he'll make sure to get his own stuff. And therefore, in this case, as of Shimon, again, assuming if Shimon holds the most kindness to Raisa, that's the chiddush of Shimon. That you don't even have to do a meshicha, you don't have to do a kinyan chatzar at all, because this is an exception to the rule. In this case, we talk hold, ma'os would be kinyan to Raisa. And even the Rabbana, you're right. Hu gavra, another story, diyav zuzi achamra, he gave money to buy wine. The saif shama de kaboy le mitzvah de be parzik rafila. He heard this guy, be parzik rafila, rafila seems to be some sort of officer of the king, some sort of army officer, that they were coming to make a wedding. And when the goyim come to make a wedding, they take all the wine. So this guy says, I gave money now to buy wine. I don't want the wine, because as soon as I take the wine, the goyim's going to come take it away from me anyways. So I want to back out on the deal. So Amar Lei, Havli Zuze, Labina Chamri, tried to back out of the deal. I paid the money. I want out. So in this case, the Lekeach wanted out of the deal. Most of the deals we'd be talking about, the Meicher wanted out of the deal. Here, the Lekeach wanted out of the deal because he knows once he has the wine, he's going to get taken away by the guy. So also, Commander of Chista, said, and this is what we quoted earlier, it's not just to protect the Lekeach, I have the Meicher be able to back out, and therefore the Meicher is going to be dying to make sure that he's going to protect the crops. We said, even the Lekeach has the ability to back out, and that also incentivizes, we said, Rashi explained, the Meicher to protect the crops, because if there's a fire coming, the Lekeach will back out, and therefore the Meicher will want to go and save the crops and make sure there's no fire. So therefore, according to this Shita, even the Lekeach has the ability to back out as long as he didn't do a kinyan, meshicha, agbal, chatz, whatever it is. If he didn't do a meshicha, he just paid money. The takanas chazal still applies, and you can go ahead, even though Lekeach can back out and get his money back. Says the mission. Now we'll start the dinim of oina. The pasuk says, which we've quoted in the pasuk a few times, the pasuk says, chisimchu mimker lamisech, when you make a purchase, oikonami anamisech, when you're buying from a friend and buying or selling, al toinu ish es ochiv. So you're not allowed to make a wrong price on the deal. And we learned before that this applies both to protect the meicher and to protect the lekeach. Whether you overcharge or undercharge, you have a lav in the Torah of loisainu. It seems to me from the Mefarshim, if you do this and you overcharge or undercharge, then it becomes similar to a gzela, and then you have a din of heishiv gzela. You have to return the money. As we'll see in the Mishnah, Chazal invented a magic number. And the magic number for oina is 1/6. Okay, what we would say, 16.67%. Oh, you have that. Oh, thank you. I was looking for it. Thank you. I don't have it. Save that for me. I need it for tomorrow. That's tomorrow's stuff. Okay. So we have a magic number called 16.67%. That's the magic number. What is this magic number? So this magic number says that if you over or undercharge less than 16%, less than 1/6, so it's not so much, then Chazal said you have a built-in mechila. You're Michael. Your Meichel, we say, you might be over the lav. Many Mefarshim say you're still over the lav in the Torah, but we assume that the, again, depending who's being overcharged, is Meichel, that money, less than 1/6 is not a big deal. If it's more than 1/6, then we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, we assume it's like a Mekach Tos, similar to a Mekach Tos. You can say, Bittel Mekach, and you charge me too much, the deal is off, give me back the crops, give me back the money, deal is off. Whether both of them get back on or not, we'll see all that over the next few days. The magic number is a sixth. If you, apparently this was either halacha l'maaseh b'Sinai, or this was like a normal profit margin maybe that would have built in there. It's not clear 100% from the Gemara. If you overcharge or undercharge exactly a sixth, then we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow exactly what the halacha is. But it seems to be then you have a choice. At least one of the shittas that Tanaim must say, you have a choice. Either cancel the deal, or I keep the deal, I keep the crops, but you have to give me back what you overcharged me. Okay, you have to give me back what you overcharged me, assuming from the tzad of lo-kech. Lo-kech says, I paid too much, give me back the too much money, but I still get to keep the crops. It's up to him to do that. Says the Mishnah, now we're going to discuss all these details. Ho-ino, arba kesef, mi-esim ve-arba kesef le-sela. So it's a complicated way of saying it, but basically, we'll see in the Gemara, if you have something which is 20, which is not worth, we'll see exactly what we're talking about, but there's a deal here for 24 kesef, and you overcharged four of it, which is a sixth of 24. So that would be the classic case of Aino. Shtus lemekach, one-sixth of the amount of the purchase price is the Aino that we're talking about. That is classic Aino in the Torah. The Mishnah does not particularly say what the halacha is then. It just says Aino, the definition of classic Aino is one-sixth. Now, admasai mutu la'achse. Now, we bring up an interesting point. Right? Can I come to you 7 years later and say, by the way, 7 years ago, I just figured out you overcharged me a sixth, I want the money back, or whatever it is. Says the Mishnah, no. There's a time gap. Cap. The time cap is, only when you have an opportunity to show it to either another business person or to a relative who could tell you whether you got cheated or not. What that time frame is, the Gemara doesn't say. Taisa says there must have been some fixed amount. It can't just be every person, depending on how, you know, whether your relative lives close or far. There must have been some fixed amount of time. Let's, for argument's sake, say it was a half a day. So you have half a day to come back and claim your money. If you don't come back within a half a day and claim your money, we assume you're Michael it, and therefore you cannot get it back anymore. Rabbi Tarfon got up in Lud, where he was apparently the Rav, and he paskin, ho'ayna shmoyne kesef me'esem rabo kesef, lesela. Shlish lemekach. He said, no, the magic number is not a sixth, the magic number is a third, which means I can overcharge you a significant amount more, and you cannot demand the money back. So, v'sam chutagri Lud. The businessmen in Lud, the sellers, were thrilled. Now they can, till now they can only overcharge, assuming they were not scrupulous, right? They can only overcharge up to a sixth and get away with it. Now, according to the Tarfon, they can overcharge up to a third and get away with it. Wow, they were thrilled. Amar Lahem, if Tarfon found out about this, he said, not so fast, boys. He said, kol hayoyim mutar lachser. That which the Rabbanan said, a sixth, and they say you only have, let's say, half a day to find out. I say you have an entire day for the lekech, let's assume in this case the lekech, to track down and find out the proper price and come get your money back. Ooh. So Amru Loi, so now they had a choice to make. Is it better that we stick with Shita? You know, you can't just pick and choose, right? We have to be consistent in Dinei Eino. Are we going with the Rabbanan's Dinei Chayshim Mishpat or if Tarfon's Dinei Chayshim Mishpat? According to Rabbanan's Dinei Chayshim Mishpat, it's only up to a sixth. But the lekech only has half a day to come claim. According to Tarfon, it's up to a third, which is good for us. But the lekech has a whole day to come and claim. So we're going to forget about Rav Tarfon. We're going to go back to the Vicham. Don't worry about this line of the Mishnah right now. Tomorrow's whole daf is going to be what they were thinking, what they changed their mind, why this is better, why this is not better. That's tomorrow's daf. First, let's jump in to the Shittas Vicham. Itma. Rav Amar Shtus Mekach. Rav says when you figure out the sixth is based on the actual price of the chefetz, what it should have been. Not what you paid for it, but what it should have been. Mekach means what it should have been. We'll see what the nafkah means in a second. Shaninu. That's Pshat and Mishnah, and that's what the Mishnah says. Mishnah says Shtus Mekach. Shmuel Amar Shtus Mos Nami Shaninu. Shmuel says an amazing halacha, that when the Mishnah says Shtus Mekach, it doesn't only mean a sixth above and beyond the actual price, the real price. It could also mean a sixth above and beyond the sale price. The price you actually paid. What's enough? Gemara more explains. Shavu Shisa B'chamisha. If you have something which is worth six, and you undersold it, you sold it for five. Okay, so the lekech paid too little. Or Shavu Shisa B'sheva. Or if it was worth six and you overcharge and you charge seven, if you figure it out, so if you have something that was worth six and you paid five, you paid once you paid 16, let's just round it off to 16, you paid 16% too little. If it was worth 6 and you paid 7, you paid 16% too much of the real price. And therefore, that is real, and that's where Einah applies. What's the machlekes? Ki pligi shavu chamisha v'shisa. What if it was worth 5 and you paid more 6? Now, if you think about it, one, right, one which you overpaid is, how much is that out of 5? A lot more than a sixth. It's a sixth of the total that you paid, of the real price you paid, of the price you paid. But it's not a sixth of what it was really worth. So how do you look at it in that case? Or shavu shiva b'shisa. So Gemara explains. L'shmul demar basa mosla, and Shmuel says an amazing halacha. Shmuel says when the Chazal made up this magic number, a sixth, it could either be a sixth above and beyond, above or below the real price what it should be, or a sixth magically above and beyond, above and below what the price you paid. As long as somewhere there's a sixth, you're good enough, and that counts in DNA. No. So idea I know have it. Right? So 5 and you pay 6, or 7 and you pay 6, is 1/6 of the price you paid. It's not 1/6 of the price that it is, but it is 1/6 of the price you paid. It falls into the category of oino. L'rav, Rav says we only look at what the price should have been. And therefore, shavu chamisha b'sisha, if it was worth 5 and you charge 6, bito mekachavi, because you actually paid much more. Right? 1 out of 25 is? Come on, math guys. Fifth. It's a fifth more than the actual price. That's already betel mekachlin. That's too much. The deal is off. Shavu shiva b'shisa, if it was worth 7 and you charged 6, so you paid less. So mechila have, that's going to be much less because then you've only undercharged 14.3%. So therefore, that's not oino yet. Your oino is only 16 exactly. More or less is not oino. Could be betel mekach, could be mechila. So according to Rav, one of these cases is betel mekach, the other case is mechila. According to Shmuel, both cases are going to be still oino. Shmuel Amar, Kiemer in a mechilu betomeka, hecha deleka shtush miseit stodim. If you don't have a sixth in either calculation, then you would say either betomeka or mechilu. Avlecha dika shtush mitzad echon. If somewhere it's a sixth, either a sixth above or below the real market price, or a sixth above or below the price that you paid, then I know have. Then it will be I know. Now, how do you read the Mishnah? Tanan. Hoino dalid kesef me esem rabo kesef. 4 out of 24 sell a shtush lemeka. Now, what does that mean, 24? Is 24 the real price, or is 24 the price you paid? So my love, dizovin shovin esim esrim besim raiva. L'chayr, the real price was 20, and you charge 24. Now, if the real price is 20, and you charge 24, then it's a sixth of 24, but it's not a sixth of 20. And the Mishnah says it's oino. V'shmami no shtus mos namishaninu. We see that only works according to Shmuel. According to Rav, so it's 20 and you overcharge by 4, that's 1/5. That's not 1/6. So it's a riot to Shmuel. So my life. The Zavu Shavin Esim Ve'arba Be'esrim. We're talking about where the real price was 24 and you undercharge and charge 20. So therefore you undercharge by a 6, and that makes sense. Minasana. So then who is getting cheated in that case if you undercharged? The Meicher. Right? The Meicher was getting undercharged. Aim a sefer, look in the sefer. And masai mutar lahachzir, when can you go back? Bichdei sheyir letagir lekroiver. You have that much time, we said a half a day, so you can find out the real price. V'yamar Rav Nachman, we'll see Rav Nachman tomorrow, said, loishenu lokeach. That gap of time is only for the lokeach. Avo meicher li'olam chayzer. The meicher, if he gets cheated, he has forever to get to be chayzer on the deal. So we see that what? We see that we're talking about a case where the lokeach is being cheated. And the reisha you just explained was talking about a case where the meicher was being cheated. How do you read the Mishnah? Ella says, "Ma dezavu shoven esim ve'arba be'esim v'tamna." No, you know what the case of the Mishnah is? That it was worth 24, you sold it for 28. And therefore, it's a sixth of the real price, and that could fit according to Rav as well. So even according to Rav or according to Shmuel, we can work out the Mishnah. According to Shmuel, it could be 20 for 24, huh? Or 24 for 28. According to Rav, it has to be the 24 was the original price, and you overcharged by 20. The truth would be the same if it was 24 and sold for 20. That would be the same too, but that's not the case of the Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick it up here in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.